We'll just keep continuing on as we meditate on the things that Paul talked about in Hebrews. Just to kind of set a background again for what we've been studying on. Paul in the book of Hebrews is writing. If you skip over to the book of, or the audio's not working. It's good. All right. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul kind of he mentions that the people that he's writing to are people that have been through a lot of afflictions and been through some struggles, and so a lot of the things that he's writing about are to encourage them in their faith. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he tells them that don't give up, with all the many things that we've heard and seen, we've got a reason to believe. And he lays out that case throughout the book of Hebrews for why we believe in Jesus, as he's elevating Jesus, and why we can have confidence. Those in the very first church age, why they could have confidence and believing on him. And I think it's in 1 Corinthians that Paul laid out that there were 500 witnesses that saw him alive after he raised from the dead. And Paul lays out all these cases for why we should believe in Jesus. And so let's continue on in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 8. He says, Thou hast put all things in subjection under the feet of Christ. Everything's under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So we see a lot of things. Now this kind of leads into the next verse. We don't see yet all things put under him, but we do see Jesus. And so we don't see yet all things put under him, meaning there's a lot of things that, you know, we've got a lot of afflictions in life. We've got a lot of struggles in life. We don't see yet people are, you can look around and see people dying. We don't see yet, death. We don't see yet death under his. People are still dying, so we still see death. So we see all of those things. We don't see yet all things put under him. But going on to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 on the next slide, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now there's a lot of packed into that statement, so let's just sit on that for a little bit longer and see what we can unpack. Because, you know, there in that first church age, there were people, like I mentioned in 1 Corinthians, that Paul mentioned that 500 people that he mentioned that had actually seen Jesus after he had raised from the dead. And there were a lot of people that had seen Jesus walking around and seen the effect of his ministry, and seen, after the day of Pentecost, they had seen the life of Christ actually lived out in people, and Peter and John saying, look on us, and telling the man at the gate, beautiful, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I've got, I'll give to you. And they could actually see the life of Christ in these people. But I think really it goes deeper than that. That to see Jesus, and Brother Brown would outline as he was preaching Hebrews chapter 2, that here, you know, there's a lot of people in the world today that cannot see Jesus, even though their physical eyes are open, that we can actually see Jesus. We can actually see Jesus now by revelation. Now see, Brother Ram in Hebrews chapter 2, he said the people were blind. They didn't know him. And he's talking about when Jesus was going down the, carrying that cross on his back, and they didn't recognize who he was. He said they didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. You say, blind, could they have their sight? You can still have your sight and be blind. Now isn't that like a paradox, that you could be maybe even sitting here in the building this morning and have your physical eyesight, but yet be blind to who Jesus is and not understand who Jesus is. Now, what a strange thing almost, that in this day, by the preaching of the gospel, by the message that we've heard, that we can see Jesus, that we've got the power, that God has given us the ability to see Jesus, even though physically he might not walk down the aisles of the church. We don't physically see him out on the street or doing things like they did walking on the shores of Galilee back then. But we can see Jesus by the revealing of his word. So if we go to the next slide. Now Jesus, this is that famous parable where Jesus said, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. Now the reason Jesus said this, called the Pharisees the blind leaders of the blind, because Jesus, he began to say strange things, and he told them they were all worried about the kind of food that they were, what they would put in their mouth. And he said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, but it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. It's what the things that you say, it's what comes out of your mouth that is what defiles you. And they the Bible says that they got offended. Knowest, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And why were they offended? Because they couldn't see what he was talking about. They were blind. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. Now, isn't that just a true example of the church today? How so many people have become offended by the message because they don't understand what it is. They don't understand they don't realize that they're blind. And so many people, remember that's the forgotten beatitude. Blessed are they that are not offended in me. Jesus preached that sermon. So many people get offended at what they don't really under. They think the message is about bopping women on the head and treating maybe hard to understand things, just like the Pharisees couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. So they got offended at him. And Jesus said, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, he's telling them they're blind. He's telling his disciples these people are blind, and they can't see. Now, again, think what I'm leading up to something. I think it's profound how simple the evidence of the new birth is. How simple the gospel really is. As you hear the word begins to open up to you, and you begin to see what the message is. You begin to have an understanding of what the message is really about, what the gospel is really about. That's why if we go to the next slide in Isaiah 42, 16 and 18, it says, and I will bring the blind. You talk about a prophecy. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Now that's speaking of Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way. And the blind, when he came, people were blind. They didn't understand how to get to God. They didn't understand the approach to God. But when Jesus came, he opened up their eyes so that they could see, so that they could have an understanding. And you see, that's the whole purpose of the gospel, is to give you an understanding, to make you understand that you were predestinated eternally, that the scripture is actually speaking of you in Malachi 4, 5, 6, that your heart is going to be turned. It's talking about you. It's talking about you in Revelation 10, that when John typed you, it's speaking of you, that he took the book and ate it, and you got to take the book and ate it. And your eyes begin to be opened up to these things. God, the word is actually giving you understanding. And it says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. So that's what Paul is talking about when he says, but we see Jesus, that our eyes were blinded, but now, by the preaching of the gospel, our eyes, our spiritual eyesight has become open, and we can see. Because seeing is an understanding. Seeing is revelation. A revelation of his word. And what it really is, revelation. When you read the Bible and you've got all these little facts and things that you've got, you read, and you read about Daniel's 70 weeks, and you read about the statue of a perfect man, and you read about the capstone and the adoption, and it seems like little facts that you're just learning. But when God reveals it to you, he puts all the pieces together so that you can see a picture. And when the pieces come together, the clouds not up in the cloud, the cow's not up in the clouds, up in the sky, the clouds aren't down on the ground. The picture is a picture, a complete picture that's perfect, that you can understand, a picture that's painted. And what is the picture? The picture is Jesus. That's why Paul said, we see Jesus, but we see Jesus. And that's why I put down at the bottom the scripture in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that the word to the Laodicean church age, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness did not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And that's why Brother Branham, I think he made a lot, many times he would tell that story of his mama rubbing the coon grease on his eyes, because the Kungris would open up his eyes in the natural. But he gave us a message. God sent a message through that little man to open up our eyes so that we could actually see. Now, if we go to the next slide, in the Sardisian church age, Brother Ram said, so when we receive eternal life, we're receiving part of that cosmic light that was back yonder before there was ever a molecule. Uh-huh. That light of God comes into our heart that lightens us that we see Jesus. Now you see, you begin to wonder, how do I know if I got the new birth? The light of God in your heart reveals Jesus to you. The Bible said we don't see all things, but we see Jesus. Because as you're hearing the word, it actually opens up to you so that you see the picture. Now, see how Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he was telling them they're blind, they don't see. And you know, a lot of times you try to explain to a blind person what you should be seeing, but you won't ever really understand until you see it for yourself. You tell a blind person, well, you need to be seeing this, or you need to, if I was trying to explain to a blind person what I'm looking at right now, I'd say that, well, there's all these people looking at me, and there's I'm standing up behind the podium up in the front of the room, and there's all these things, there's musical instruments behind me, and I could try to explain it. But when you see it for yourself, then you know what it is. When you see it for yourself, and that's what revelation is, when you see for yourself what the Bible is talking about, that's how you know something's happened, when it's revealed to you. Now, if we go to the next slide, and again, we're talking about Paul saying, but we see Jesus. Now, that's that great story of when the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus that Brother Branham, a lot of times he would use as an illustration. They were walking along and they didn't recognize who Jesus was. But then he went in and they went in and he shut the door. They shut the door and they went into a place and he began to do something like he had done before. He began to break that bread and he began to share things to them, and their eyes became open and they recognized, the Bible says, and their eyes were open and they knew him. They knew him. In other words, they had an understanding, and he vanished out of their sight. That's when you know something's happened, is when you see Jesus, when you understand him. If we go to the next slide, and Brother Bram said, and then Jesus came and called, he said, he was that truly. He was that plus God. See, he was the manifestation. Jesus is the body, the boy, the man. God was what dwelt in him. God was in him. He was a God-man. He was a man, yet he was God manifested in flesh. So when we see Jesus, we see God. Now see, how am I supposed to see Jesus if he's not here in the flesh? If he's not sitting in the pew in this building? We see Jesus by revelation. That's what he said. When you see the Father, see me. You see the Father. We see Jesus by the revelation of his word. Then we see him by the effects of that revelation in our lives. Him moving in the church. Him changing your life. Him actually healing people. The effects of that life and his power is how we see Jesus. We know that he's done something for us because we see him. And the effect of that revelation, the effect that it has in our life. So on the next slide, Brother Ram said in the message, look, he said, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? We must see Jesus. And the only way we see Jesus is see the word. This is, now listen how profound this is. We know that Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and those things. He was the actual expression of God. So he's the Word. But we have a symbol of that Word here, which is what Brother Ram said. This is the natural symbol of the Spirit. So when we look, he said, it is the letter that the Spirit quickens. So when I'm reading this Word, when I'm reading the Word, the Spirit, the Word, the actual Word wants to quicken what I've received in my heart. He wants to quicken that and make it come alive. Now, what's the only thing that's preventing him from quickening it? And Brother Brown said he wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want it. But why does he, what's preventing it? It's my doubt. My doubt keeps the Spirit from quickening the Word. My doubt. And so that's why we come to church. The more Word we hear, it's actually purifying us. It's building up within us until we come to a place, until we can accept what God said. That's why this is the natural symbol of the Spirit. This is the natural symbol, the letters on the page that I can read that is a symbol of the Word of God that will quicken this and make it come alive. He said, you know what I mean? It is the letter that the Spirit quickens. Now you see why the new birth has been taught wrong so many times is because the new birth has been preached. That you go to a camp meeting, for example, and you feel something, and there you go, you got the new birth. But have you received the Word? Have you heard the Word? Without the Word, without the letter, the Spirit cannot quicken anything. Many times people go to they'll go through a prayer line and they'll get prayed on and they'll think they got something. They'll go away and then they'll go back through another prayer line after they realize, well, I went through the prayer line, but I still can't get rid of all, I still can't get delivered. I can't overcome the alcohol, the depression, the pornography, all the things I can't overcome because they didn't get that Word, the Word down in their heart. The Word is the thing that actually makes a way for the Spirit to quicken it. The Word is the thing that allows, it gives you something to believe. It's a natural symbol of the Spirit. It is the letter that the Spirit quickens. See, that is the letter that, and the Spirit quickens this letter and makes it a reality. The Spirit quickens the letter and makes it a reality. So, let's keep going on. There's a lot could be said about that. Brother Bram said on the next slide, he said, in God's provided place of worship, but Lord, it does delight our hearts when we see Jesus glorified among us. When we see Him glorified. When we see His Word, which He is the Word. When we see, we can read it here in the Bible, where He promised He would do it. Then see Him work it right in us. Then we're doing like Paul said in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. We see Him in His Word. We see Him performing His Word. We see Him changing our lives. We see the effect of His Word. And we see the Word opening up so that when we read our Bible, it's not a mystery anymore because we see Jesus. We look into our Bible and we see Him. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now listen to this. He said, look, Christ in you makes Him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes the complete revelation of the whole thing. See, what God is trying to do. What is the new birth then? What's the new birth? You'd say, well, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now see, you say, I was talking to one of the young people a while ago, and they went to a camp meeting and they went through the prayer line and they were seeking to know whether they had the new birth or not. See why Jesus said, He told Peter, flesh and blood is revealed, flesh and blood didn't tell you this, but my Father, which is in heaven, it's got to be a revelation. And one of the young people went through the prayer line and they were wondering whether they had the new birth or not. And the preacher told them, well, I think you got it. But see, that's flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot tell you. It's got to be my Father in heaven, which reveals you. And I'll be honest, that kind of, raise my hackles a little bit, because that's great if somebody tells you you got the new birth. But it, how much greater, what more sure word of prophecy if the Father, God, if your Father tells you whether you got the new birth or not? And how is he going to tell you? He's going to reveal it to you as you eat the Word. As you eat, now you might be like Sister Shepherd laying on there on her couch when she fell asleep and she had a dream about the statue. Let me not move away too from the microphone. She had a dream about the statue of a perfect man, and Brother Branham preached that sermon about the statue of a perfect man. She was wondering if she had the new birth, and she was born again. Brother Branham said she was, and she was wondering if she had the new birth. But see, as you get built up, it's beginning to unfold to you until a place, till you come to a place where you begin to realize there's been a change in my life. Something has happened, and the opening of the word begins to build confidence in you that something has taken place in my life. It's the revelation of the word, that is the main thing. What is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. You see how when you see Jesus, that trumps everything, because you're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days when you don't feel things. You don't feel. We were actually listening to Marcus Becker on the way to church this morning, and he was preaching up there in Ohio, and he was talking about how when you have sisters going through menopause, you don't feel too great. Some days you don't feel too. It's up and down, and just anything in life. And so you can't base it on how you feel, but you can base it on a revelation. If God has opened your eyes to the truth and revealed it to you, then you know that's the rock of revelation that you can base everything on. Not on how you feel, not on whether you went to a camp meeting and felt something, or went through a prayer line and somebody laid their hands on you and you had confidence in that minister, or had felt a little emotion or something, but the revelation of his word to you. The revelation is something that nobody can take away from you. The devil can't take it away from you. You can't impersonate a revelation. He said the devil can impersonate everything else, but he can't bring the word by word. He can impersonate feelings. He can impersonate lights. He can impersonate dreams. He can impersonate everything else, but he can't impersonate the word, the revelation of the word. And we got 5 more minutes. Let's go on to the next one. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, don't you just love the imagery that Paul evokes, tasting death, like he almost like he savored it, like he sat down at the table and tasted it. And he tasted it so that you wouldn't have to. Now you think about Jesus, how horrible that was. All of that agony and being whipped and going through the experience of carrying his cross and the fatigue and not being able to get up there and hardly and all that he did for you and I. And he did it because our sin needed an atonement. Think about the wrath of God was poured out on that man. You know, many times we come to church and we'll get to thinking, well, I wonder if God hates me. I wonder if he even loves me. But all of God's wrath was poured on that man so that it wouldn't be poured out on you. And that proves that God loves you. It proves he cares for you, because all of that man went through, all of that he sacrificed and endured so that you could be saved. Now, if we go to the next slide. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So he did it for every man, for anybody that will believe. And not everybody will believe, but he did it. The way is open. The way is made open. And that's why in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Whosoever will, let him come. That's why in John 3:16, that the scripture we all know and we love to quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's why the Bible says in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, the way is open. See, See, many times we get in our head that if we want the new birth, if we want to come to Jesus, that we might have to wait 10 or 20 years or so. It could be far off because you begin to get in your head that maybe God doesn't love you or you don't understand the way to approach Him. But you don't have to wait. You can accept Him right now. All you got to do, the only thing that's keeping the Spirit from quickening that word in your life is your doubt. So all you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is say, and I can testify of this. I can testify of my own mind battles of things growing up in the message. You know, I remember sitting there in my office at work one day just battling something out, and I began to think, you know, I believe that what that minister is saying is true. I believe that what he's saying is true after I battled it out and battled it out. And it was like heaven just dumped out on me right there in that moment. Why? Because in that moment I believed. All you've got to do is believe. And that's what the word is for, is to open up a channel to give you something in your heart so that you know what to believe, and you know that God loves you, and you know that He's there for you, and just believe Him. Just take Him at His word. And the John 11:26 says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" The musicians can go ahead and come forward, and we'll close on that. Believest thou this? All you have to do is believe. How simple the gospel is escapes us so many times because we want to make it complicated. We want to make it something that's mysterious, but it's as simple as, can you believe it? Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
God bless you as we turn over the service to the musicians.